He's supposed to put us on at 6 o'clock.
Okay. Cecil Jepson in Seattle.
Welcome to the call.
Actress from Santa Cruz.
Hello from Santa Cruz. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
It's Eric.
I heard Eric. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Eric and Tori Pines.
All right. Welcome to the call, Eric.
Thank you.
And
hey, isn't Tori Pines in La Jolla?
Eric.
Oh, never mind.
He might have muted. Good evening, Wynn.
Hello, Hives.
Thanks for being here, brother.
Well, I wouldn't have showed up if I didn't, if it didn't depend on me.
Okay. Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday. Welcome to the Wednesday call. Please say your name and location.
Shirley, Mississauga.
Hello, Sherry. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Sherry, where are you located?
In Mississauga, Ontario.
Okay.
Anyone welcome the next person? Please say your name and location.
Bill from Chicago.
Hello, welcome to the call. Is it Phil?
Joel.
Welcome to the call. Good evening. Welcome to the question and answer call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, hi.
Terry.
Hi.
Thanks for being here. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
All
How
right.
are you?
Good.
Good.
And more people joined in. Welcome, everybody. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Susan from California.
Good evening, Susan. Welcome to the call.
This is Ron again in Mountain Grove, Missouri.
Welcome back, Ron.
Thank you.
Hi, Terry.
I wasn't sure you heard me. This is Cecil, the C6C Serpent from Seattle.
Hi, Cecil. Welcome to the call.
Shelby,
hi, this
Florida.
Is Steve in Miami.
Hello, Steve in Miami. And who else was there from Florida?
Jolia.
Jolia, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Peg from Cincinnati.
Hello, Peg. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
You know, I'm finally glad I heard the voice behind Cecil. The C6. Excuse me.
Yep, that's me.
Good evening. Welcome to the call, everybody. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Yvonne from Florida.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. And more people have joined. If you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Susan in Delaware.
Hello, Susan. Welcome to the call.
Hi, it's Lisa.
Hello, Lisa, baby. How are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. Welcome, everybody.
Muted.
Please say your name and location. All right. We have the lines muted.
Everybody, because I wanted to just say hello to all the people that are coming in on the Internet. And if you're coming in for the first time, you're hearing our conference line people check in.
You want to start recording, Min?
No.
Okay.
I'm just going to open up the lines for another couple of minutes, and then we'll start. I'll start recording after I do that. Thank you. Let me see.
Muted.
Okay, lines are open. We'll start in a minute.
For those who just have joined, welcome everybody, and if you want to do so, please say your name and location.
This is Cindy in Peoria. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
All right, thanks for being here.
Suzanne in Columbus.
Hi, Suzanne. Welcome to the call.
Thanks, hi.
Thank you for being here. And more people have joined in. Welcome, everybody. If you want to do so, please say your name and location.
This is Chris in Florida.
Hi, Chris. Welcome to the
Hi.
Call.
Yes, I'm Sweetwater, Texas.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi,
My name is Rick. I'm in Sweetwater, Texas.
Hi, Rick.
Brian Levy.
I'm new to this. I don't know what's going on. I just got a reference from.
All right. Well, hang in there. I heard Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hi.
How are you, man?
How are you?
Good. Thanks for being here.
Sure.
Hey, Rick in Sweetwater, can you hear me?
Yeah, barely. I'm just getting involved here. What's going on?
You don't have a horse, do you?
A horse?
Yeah.
No.
You sound like a guy that... Did you used to have horses?
No.
No. All right.
I used to trade horses.
Hey, Wynn, did you get my emails?
You mean that you're in love?
Hey, yeah. Chris.
Oh, yeah, I'm in love.
Yeah. Not you. That's Chris in Nashville.
Memphis.
In Memphis. Okay.
Nashville. There's a rivalry between Memphis and Nashville. Yeah. Memphis is much more hip and cool than Nashville.
Those are your words, okay? All right, we have all the lines still open. If you come in, welcome to the call, and please say your name and location.
This is Larry again. This is Larry again in northeastern Wisconsin. I lost the connection somehow.
All right, well, I'm glad you're back, Larry. Good evening. Welcome to the question and answer call. Please say your name and location. Well, welcome to the call.
Oh, actually, we've been on a computer, though.
If I mute your line, don't feel that I'm putting you aside. It's just if I have background noise, I try to keep the line clean. We had somebody else join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Susan from Mesa.
Hi, Susan. Welcome to the call.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
All right.
Oh, good. Someone else.
Muted.
Who is that? Okay. Wynn, are you ready? That means no.
Oh, this is Wynn, and I was muted, but I muted everyone else, and I didn't unmute myself. Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry.
Let me see.
Calling Terry.
She's still here, and she's not unmuted on the console, so probably her own mute button.
We are waiting for Terry. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me start the recording, and I'll just do an intro.
You have a an echo. You have two lines open, Wynn.
Hang on. I'll mute it on one line.
This conference is being recorded.
All right. Hi. Am I being echoed right now?
No, you're good.
Okay. Terry, are you there? I'll tell you what. Well, I can't. All right. Let's hope Terry shows up. Okay. I know this is September 12th. 2012. My name is Winfrey, and I know there's some new people that are checking us out for the first time tonight. And thank you for being here. And I hope you'll stay the full hour. I mean, you don't have to, but, you know, I hope that you take the time to really look at this, because it's very unusual what we're doing. And it's not your normal reality. But you have to come to that yourself. If you've read my book, you know that I've had this situation occur for me for the past 10 years where I was writing a book about a guy that channels, a guy that was having voices talk through him. And while I was writing the book, in the middle of writing it, I had that happened to me. And it happened through a woman who was a new personal relationship, and we were driving from Los Angeles to Portland, and it was raining. I did a prayer protection, and I said, "Does anybody want to talk to me?" And she answered, and I wasn't sure what to make of it. I wasn't sure if she was crazy. I wasn't sure if I could trust it. But for the next 6 months, she would tap me on the shoulder and tell me, "Those guys want to talk to you." And I did a number of things testing this to see what to make of it. They never asked me to do anything except ask questions. And in testing it, I asked them, "Can you guys predict the newspaper headline?" That was at the very beginning. And they said, "Watch for this headline in 2 weeks." And there was the headline. And then somewhere on the path, I got a call from my brother-in-law that my sister was supposed to die. She had this really serious operation. And so I asked them if they could help. And they said they could. And then something miraculous happened that by medical standards shouldn't have happened, but it happened. And she was cured from a particular ailment that supposedly can never be cured. And you can read about that if you haven't read my book, The Creator Gods Want to Talk to You. The full story is in there. And then the woman who was bringing forth these messages was being scared by it, and she left. And I thought that was the end of it. And a few weeks later, I called up my old friend. She came over, and in the middle of the night, she said, "Get the tape recorder out." And a voice came through her that said it was the same source that was speaking through the other woman. And I'm not believing any of this. This is a bit like being in a science fiction movie. But I continued to ask questions. And at one point, now, you may not believe in reincarnation, but if you're open to the possibility of it, over many, many years, I am thoroughly convinced that reincarnation is real. And what happens is it takes more than one lifetime for a soul to get the lessons they need to learn to graduate this realm. So every time you come into a new body, you don't remember anything, but you carry the talents, the hang-ups, the issues of your past lifetimes. And what's more, you tend to look like who you were, because the DNA transfers in your soul from one lifetime to the next. So if for some reason you get an indication that you might have been somebody, and you look them up and you look like them, that might be a fairly good indication that you were them. Now, that's not really important who you were, because it's only important who you are now. So people can get all hung up on who they were, and especially if they were somebody famous. So it usually, for most people, it would be a distraction to their own growth this lifetime to know their past lifetimes. But in Terry's case, I asked them at one point, because I was being amazed by all the things that were happening that were coming through her, I said, "Was Terry ever anybody famous in a past life?" And they said, "Look up St. Catherine of Siena, who I never heard of, but I looked her up, and I find this story of a young woman who had a voice coming through her that she would attend the local Catholic church in Siena, Italy. And this is not a religious thing we're doing here. This is just something that happened in the past. She would attend the local Catholic church, and they would write down everything she said because they thought God was speaking to them through her. And St. Catherine's Dialogues with God are now still published on Amazon, still published in bookstores, and they're officially recognized by the Catholic Church. And again, this has nothing to do with Catholicism. It has to do with someone who has a voice coming through them that comes from another realm that has something to offer us in this realm. That's the only reason it's important. And as I was studying this, I found that Terry was the spitting image of Saint Catherine. And of course, I already knew that people tend to look like their past lifetimes. So, Terry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good. Where were you before?
I was muted.
Oh, okay. So that's Terry, and what's going to happen on this call is we're going to have a conversation with that same voice, and we're going to ask questions that you have submitted. Now, this voice has identified itself as a conglomerate of two group souls. One of them is the Council of Elohim, and the way they describe themselves is they say they were a group energy that was here before there was a physical universe, and they, in fact, created the physical universe. Now, when many times in history, they have been interpreted as God. But when we ask them about that, they say that's not their preferred way of relating to us, because they want to be our energy friends. They exist in other dimensions, and there's something that called the law of one, that everything is part of everything else. And so at the highest level, they're us, and we're them. But we're in this realm. Now, if you're listening to this, and this sounds strange and weird, you just have to say, I'll be open to the possibilities. You don't have to believe anything. You don't have to believe that they are who they say they are. You don't have to believe Terry was St. Catherine. And just have an open mind, and if anything makes sense, study our materials, because many people are studying them and having huge cognitions, like this makes more sense than religion. Now, if you're religious, and that's working for you, then I am not telling you to stop being religious. This is separate from that. And you can decide how it fits. But this is not about believing in something. This is not about a belief pattern. And if you want to create it as a belief pattern, that's your problem, because I'm not asking that, nor do I suggest that. I suggest that you consider the possibility, read our materials, let's come to our conference calls, look at our archives, and you decide if it resonates with you, if it makes sense. And many, many people have had all kinds of amazing things happen because they keep showing up on this call. And the basic premise is that you, as a human, are contracted into this physical universe. And you are bigger than you ever believed yourself to be. But by being in this realm, on this planet, you lose connection with the parts of you that are bigger. And part of my mission in this call is to help people make those connections with who they really are and not just how they feel in this moment. As you know, in this moment, you can feel any which way. You can feel depressed, you can feel angry, you can feel hurt, you can feel loving. And it all passes. And is there something that's you that's beyond all that? That is what we're exploring. And we're talking to a voice who says they're beyond that, and they can give us help in making those connections. So on that note, I am going to... We have this little thing that's calling in the light. It's creating a protective energy for doing this in a public way. It's very unusual to do this in such a public way, and that many of you are holding the space for that to occur. What do I mean by that? I mean, you are putting out a vibration that you've learned to put out by coming into these calls. You can't do it by trying. It just happens. And you're putting out a vibration, you're holding a frequency, and that the vibrations come together, and there's an energy on the call that's a result of all the vibrations that we all individually put out. And then these sources are vibrations as well, but they're in other dimensions, and they come into this call as part of our energies. So, in truth, as I said, they are us. But in actual reality, lower-level reality, it feels like they're separate. So one of the things is to learn and feel the connection. So to do that, you have to be curious enough to keep reaching back. So Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection amongst all of you who are present, who are free-willingly choosing to be part of that. And we invite those sources that are positive service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do our sources have an opening greeting for us this evening?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We have been connecting and getting in touch, making ourselves available to each and every person within the sound of our voice. We see that there are people on the telephone line and that there are people in front of their computers on the internet. And we make contact with them all, everyone that wishes contact to be made. And it brings us joy to be able to make this contact between realms. And we look at each individual who may think that they are alone or they are separate, and we are all tied together, and you are our brothers and sisters, and we are so happy to make contact with you, those that wish it. Do you have questions?
Yes. We have a question from Helma. And this is kind of a philosophical question. Is fear the opposite of love? And is love the opposite of fear? If I am afraid of the dark or the unknown, that means I have fear. Does that mean I have less love or that I am less love? Thank you.
We say that you are looking at love in reverse. If you did not have love, you would not have fear. You care. You care very, very much. And you have things that you love. So when there appears to be danger, appears to be a threat, then there is a mode of thinking to protect a thing that you love very, very much. You love your life. You love your families. You love ice cream. You love, we say this generically, as individuals may have different likes and loves. You have the things that you really, really care for. And when they are brought into a question of continuing, then there is a fear that the object, the life, the thing that you love may disappear and you won't have it anymore and that there will then be lack. So we let you know that you cannot have one without the other. So in a way, they are both legs of the same thing. And if you put them on a scale, then you could see different emotions in relation to the things that you consider stable and non-threatening and the things that you may be afraid of that would happen. And it could stretch out into a various range of emotions about the thing that you care about. You could get angry because it might be taken away. You could get sad because it had been taken away. So there are other emotions involved. We hope that sheds some light on it.
Thank you. This is a question from Cecil in Seattle, who's on the line, who is Cecil Sea Serpent. And in the last 2 years, he lost two daughters. And his question is, do they know each other on the other side, and are they happy?
Give us a moment. Do you have a father name? Cecil?
Cecil. We just have Cecil in Seattle. I don't have his full
Cecil
name.
Cecil
in Seattle. He is on the line.
Yes. Give us a moment.
Shall I ask him to say something?
We are working to get a fix on the situation. We are so using our GPS, so to speak. Our GPS extends not only into the third dimension, but into the higher realm, which one of your daughters is in the highest realm. The other is not. They are connected. They are connected as they are connected to you vibrationally. And they are connected to their mother also vibrationally. They strengthen this connection as we are talking. And there is a bond between the four of you. This bond is serving to strengthen their whole experience through their trajectory where they are now, as they feel supported by you, and the connection between the sisters supports each of them and acts as a love bond between them and a support that buoys them up as they move into new experiences in their lives. We say their lives, although they have transitioned, they are still alive and going through new experiences. So they are connected, and they are connected to you and their mother, and this is supporting them as they move through their new circumstances. You have done well. That is our answer.
Thank you. And next question is, there are certain tools of divination, and the person brings up the tarot, but we can bring up other things like I Ching. And according to the raw material and David Wilcock, these tools of divination can be helpful. And yet the religious mindset states that divination is demonic and is forbidden. Could you give us some guidance? Now, I'm rewriting this question here, because I want to ask it so we get the best answer. He says, please ask the Ra'an Elohim group for their input. And I would like to add, is it ever appropriate to use these kinds of tools of divination? And if so, when? Thank you.
Thank you. It is appropriate to use these tools of divination, and they are used or can be used when you have a practitioner that is very knowledgeable about them and is mystically oriented, so they can use them to the best advantage. They are very old tools that have been used throughout thousands of years. And when one is a very clear channel and yet they wish to have tangible material thing to ground the information, then the cards can act as such. They have gotten a bad name in some realms, and if they are not used correctly by an individual who does not read in their own interpretations, but can clearly bring the information through the cards, then they will be a positive addition or way to bring through information from the higher realms. It depends upon the reader, too, and the reader's training and clarity. Very much depends upon the reader.
Could we say that in the lower realms of the universe, which is very expansive, oftentimes we talk about expanding holograms, expanding energy fields, and that these divination tools are designed to correspond to different actual holograms of energy in the universe, like astrology is the same way. And at lower levels, which all of us, to some extent, are in lower levels, they may prove valuable. But at the very highest level, the highest level of source, if someone can access that, then they may be, to a certain extent, operating above those holograms, and that those tools may be less important.
Give us a moment. It depends, again, upon the reader, as some readers can be very facile with the cards and bringing in even higher information. So it depends upon the reader.
Thank you. Okay, next question, and this is from Sherry Hampton, and I don't have her city. In the future, when
Sherry.
You guys, Hampton, Sherry L. Hampton, Muhammad.
You did. We wish individuals would give your city, as we, it makes it easier for us to connect, in that there is more than one Sherry Hampton.
Mm-hmm.
In the world.
Well, I'll tell you what, maybe let's pass on that for next week. And Sherry, please submit your question.
Read the question, and we will see if we can still connect.
Okay. I would like to ask about how to get unresolved answers from a departed loved one. And I suppose, this is Wynn speaking, inserting, many people, when someone passes, they have a level of incompleteness that with that person, and they want to feel complete, and that person no longer has a body to help them communicate with. I know, now this is Sherry again, I know for me, it has kept me blocked in ways that are not good for any of us, and I feel such an emptiness and so much confusion and lots of guilt as well. I would like to know how to get what I need to move on and know that he is at peace. Thank you.
Thank you. Often when someone passes and there are unresolved issues, unresolved communication, and guilt involved. That is not just with the person that is left on the third density side, but it is also left with the person who has transitioned to the other side. And very often, the person will keep checking in the hope that they can be seen, noticed, or communicated with. And may the sister be trying to communicate to resolve those things, as Jerry has one half of the communication and the departed person has the other half of the communication. So what we would suggest is for you to know that the person is really just transitioned, is just without body or the mechanism of the body at that time, but still is there, is still functioning, is still intelligent, is still in a able to communicate, but does not have the voice box, and is able to telepathically communicate, and also wishes to resolve these things with you, but does not, is at a loss of how to go about it, just as you are, because there is not that communication. So what we would suggest is that you take a paper and a pen and write down those specific things, starting with, say, the most important, or it doesn't even have to be in order, it can be the least important even, that you would like to resolve. And it can be a specific matter as to where the certain information might be about something, and how to handle another certain thing. And write down your questions and direct them to get a picture of the person and direct them to the picture, and often when you have a picture, it has the anchor points of the person. Direct them to the picture and read, say, one of your questions that you want to resolve or something you wish to communicate, something you wish to resolve, and then put the picture aside and imagine the person and direct it to the imagination of the person and pretend, think, make a picture in your mind of the person and address him with that. And just work with things that can be resolved without getting critical, so that you can establish rapport, even on a little minor thing, to establish rapport. And the other person from the other side, you may feel right now that person, the vibration of that person, you may feel that vibration of that person. You may have a certain smell of that person. And you then can direct it. And if you get good enough at this, you may be able to establish telepathic communication with that person. And it will help resolve things for him as well as yourself. That is our answer.
Cameron in Memphis, Tennessee asks, what is hell? Do people actually go to hell? Why do people go to hell if they go? And if they actually go, if they go, are they lost forever?
Thank you. An individual, and we look at, first of all, we look at this concept of hell and we see that there is an area of lost souls, and the lost souls have different obsessions, different viewpoints that they are still trying to get across or resolve or hack their way out of. And there are keepers of this realm of lost souls, and there are a few keepers of this realm, and they consider, these keepers consider that they are providing a place for these individuals to work through their discontents and their angers, and they can be teachers of dirty tricks, and these keepers can attempt to teach negative power trips to these individuals who are very open to this because they do not know how to positive. To express power and to have a working relationship between their life and the expression of power. So these people are trying to pound their way through this, and there are keepers of this that consider that they are providing a service for these lost souls. And we would say that this area is the closest to hell that we can, the concept of hell that is out there, that exists, and the keepers of this area, they dress with chains and black clothes, and they are mastering dirty tricks and evil intent and curses and things of that nature. And they are working to a whole negative education in this area. Now, do people ever get out? Yes, people can get out. They could get bored with their situation. They could decide that they're going to pop out of it, and then they will have to work their way back into a more satisfactory life for them. There's lots of activity there, lots of social excitement. And that is where we see the concept of hell matches what is in a certain part of the realm. Now, where is this located? It is at a different frequency than it is in a physical location. It is at a different frequency where it sets up the parameters for it to exist. Does that shed some light on it?
Yeah, I'd like to ask an additional question. The people that end up in this realm, do they end up because they're bad? Do they end up because they don't know where to go and they end up sucked into it? What is causing a person to end up in this particular realm?
Thank you. There are different reasons for ending up in this realm. They could have the desire to experience evil or to somehow they feel that they might be evil and they just want to express it really badly. And then they will be noticed by one of the keepers of the realm and given the opportunity to go there. It can be that they have just ended up in their life in an obsessive kind of a situation, and this negative realm is a place where an energy form field where they can go and they can express their negativity with another person who wishes negativity to be expressed to them. And the people are matched up, the victim and the sadistic. And different people, are, they get to match up and to act out. And they are kept pretty much within this realm by their own frequency expressions, their own holographic acting out pictures or means of expressing.
This is from Tommy Hernandez, and this is a general question. We don't need a city. Is it a good practice to send out love light to all we meet during the day and to all who pops up in our thoughts each day?
Yes, it is. As long as one does not have hooks upon it that kind of say to the person, you got to go along with this love light. It can be just freely given. Freely sent, freely imparted to the other, and as such, it will support the other person, person on the street that you walk by. It will up the whole vibration and tone of everything it touches.
Next question. This is from Marjorie Cole in Seven Hills, Ohio. And Marjorie is asking for help for her dog. I want to say, those of you that are wanting healings or things resolved, you highly recommend you come to our Sunday call. It's a different, totally different kind of call than this one. It's one where we bring the energy of these sources into your space with your permission in a way that many of you can feel it. And I get so many emails from people who have their depressions lifted during the call, who have had some kind of profound shift and oftentimes a healing. And we have a space in that call where our sources say they can pay it. Now, you have to decide this. They can say they can pay attention to us, and they can feel your thoughts if you are open and trusting enough to say that it's okay to let that happen. So on the Sunday call, we have two times where we just have silence, and we say, if you have something to ask, put it in that space. And if you are in that position, come to the Sunday call and try it out. I don't promise anything. I don't even say this works, except we get email after email from people who are having something happen. So on that note, I'm going to let this one request slip through, but I urge this person, Marjorie, to come to our call and do that silently on Sunday, because the silent connection is extremely powerful, and our sources can even comment on that. So Marjorie says, may I please ask to have my dog Mocha put into the light during the next intention. He has a very bad allergies and licks the fur of his feet. Thank you so much for what you're doing, Marjorie.
Thank you. We suggest to touch in areas where the dog likes to be touched, to rub his ears, to see how much you can expand touching of your dog to his neck, to his legs, if you can, to touch his legs gently, that he can begin to feel your touch in those areas. We see your dog give us a minute as we look at your dog. Your dog has a beautiful spirit. If there is food that your dog really likes, to give him some treats, to give him a reason to want to be here, to move some of his attention off of his feet, to move it onto something that brings him interest and brings him joy, perhaps a toy also, or a short time to play with him, even if he is not something around, but to simply play with him and give him attention and let him know that he is loved. Thank you.
Thank you. Jimmy from Katy, Texas, you know, thank you for asking your question. And I want to point out that that's not the kind of question that they would answer. It would be like a psychic answer. They would, years ago, I asked them when we were struggling for money, I said, if I went to the horse races, could you help? And they said, that would take me back to patterns of previous lifetimes, and it wouldn't be good for my present mission, this lifetime. Well, the point is that it wouldn't be good to use these connections directly to give suggestions and counsel on making money. There may be someone else that does that, but these guys don't do it, and it would change the whole direction of their connection to this realm if they were just making suggestions on what are good business deals, what stocks to buy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm saying that to you, and I'm saying that to everyone else who would have those kinds of questions. But I do thank you for asking. And we have another question here from a guitar player and a person that does guitar repairs. And where is he located? His name is David Feringer, and he does repairs for famous people. I don't have his, but this is a general question. But one of his last clients was one of the people in ZZ Top, and he had to loan him a piece of his equipment because one of theirs went out, and he had to make an hour drive. He helped to get their backup rig running. He watched a concert, and then he had a chance to chat with Billy. And Billy, it was a guy from ZZ Top, and he was acting exciting to meet me. And he called me the specialist. How cool is that? And his brings up that the energy of the show was tangible. And he has a question about music, specifically the electric guitar. For players and listeners alike, the guitar is very powerful at churning up emotions. Is it because these vibrations are simply pleasant to the ear? Is there something more at play? Are these musical frequencies literally resonating with the harmonics and or subharmonics of the soul? And I think I would like to expand that to a bigger question, not just the guitar, but we can include that. Could you explain the reasons why music has the ability to touch people beyond the level of their conscious mind.
Thank you. There are resonance between the musical notes and harmonics and the chakra systems within the body. So when one hears the music, they resonate the different chakra systems of the body based upon what notes are played, and they can help with through the resonance of the chakra system. They can help to open that chakra system and can help to get the energy moving within the individual. So if an individual is closed down in a certain area, they may not be vibrating or allowing themselves to vibrate at a certain frequency, which cuts out a whole range of their experiences as they connect with the earth and with their life and with their loved ones. And through the music, it can reestablish resonance of the particular notes or note where they are shut off or shut down. So the music does vibrate and help open the individual and help the individual expand and grow and connect and experience connections that they would not otherwise be able to connect with. And you are looking at this whole range of frequency and its ability to connect and help individuals open up to their life.
Thank you. You know what? It's 7 o'clock, and I kind of forgot that we're on BBS radio, and we should have probably finished. I don't know if we're cut off or not, but if we're not cut off, I wish everyone on BBS a great evening, and I thank you for coming onto the line, and I thank all of you for coming onto the line, and of course I thank Terry and all the people volunteering that are keeping this alive. And on that note, I will open up the conference line so we can hear you say goodbye if you want to.
Unmuted.
We are open. And we'll see you later.
Thank you.
Bye,
bye
everybody. Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye from Arizona.
Okay.
Blessings to everyone. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you, hi.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you.
Good night, hi.